Welcome back to the Deep Dive, where we cut through the noise to get you truly well-informed. You know, have you ever been part of a project that just went off the rails? Not because the idea was bad, but maybe a crucial update got missed.
Oh, absolutely. Or a simple misunderstanding just spirals. Happens all the time.
It really does. Messages just seem to get lost or twisted faster than you can blink sometimes in an organization.
Yeah, far too often. We tend to assume that just because we've, you know, sent something, it's been properly received and critically understood.
But it's rarely that simple, is it? The reality inside organizations is, well, it's this really complex web of information flow.
It really is a very intricate dance.
And that's exactly why we're taking a deep dive today into communication in organizations. And look, this isn't just about sending emails or knowing how to run a meeting.
No, definitely not. It's about understanding the whole ecosystem, right? How information actually moves, or sometimes how it just gets stuck, both inside the business and how it interacts with the outside world.
Exactly. So our mission here is to unpack all of that, the formal ways, the informal ways organizations communicate.
Mm-hmm. And also look at the surprising ways messages can get blocked or distorted.
Right. And ultimately, we want to equip you, our listener, to be a sharper communicator and, just as importantly, a better receiver of information in whatever professional setting you're in.
Yeah, and we've dug into a whole stack of materials for this, including some really detailed revision notes, basically to give you a shortcut to getting your head around this crucial topic.
Because it really matters. Whether you're managing a team, working with colleagues, or just, you know, trying to get your point across clearly, understanding these dynamics can make a huge difference.
It's often the difference between things running smoothly and constantly hitting roadblocks.
Definitely. So let's get into it. Where should we start? Maybe with why communication is so fundamental.
Sounds good. Our sources consistently call it the lifeblood of any organization, which I think is a great way to put it.
Yeah, lifeblood. It keeps everything moving, coordinated, like oxygen, really.
That's a perfect analogy. If you think big picture, communication isn't just some side task. It underpins, well, pretty much everything.
Daily tasks, big strategic goals.
Exactly. Smooth operations, good decision making. It all relies on clear, effective communication flowing.
So it's definitely more than just office chat. The materials we looked at highlight some specific goals or objectives, right?
Mm-hmm.
What are some of those key purposes?
Yeah, it's very strategic. Things like, obviously, instructing, giving clear directions for tasks. That seems basic, but it's crucial.
Sure, getting people to do the right thing.
Right, and then clarifying. You know, resolving doubts, cutting through confusion. Also, interpreting, this one's interesting, explaining complex policies or data so everyone's genuinely on the same page.
That interpretation part feels really important, especially with complex stuff.
Mm-hmm. Then there's notifying about important updates, and critically, warning. Alerting people to risks or urgent issues. That's one people often forget until something goes wrong.
Yeah, the warning function. And it's not all top down either.
No, absolutely not. A key function is receiving feedback. That two-way street is essential for improvement. And of course, reviewing performance and progress and just generally informing everyone, keeping stakeholders in the loop.
So what happens if this lifeblood isn't flowing well? What are the consequences?
Well, the consequences are pretty severe, actually. Without good communication, coordination just breaks down. Decision-making becomes incredibly difficult.
Which leads to?
Inefficiency, wasted time, wasted money, missed opportunities. It really hits the bottom line. It's not just a size skill. It's fundamental to business success.
Okay, that really underscores the why. So let's explore the how. How does communication actually happen day to day? Our sources talk about different types, starting with internal versus external, inside the walls versus outside.
Right. So internal communication is, like you said, strictly within the business.
Staff meetings, emails between colleagues.
Exactly. Memos, those one-on-one appraisal chats. And what's key here is its direct link to coordination, motivation, keeping productivity up. It helps employees feel connected.
It's about oiling the internal gears, basically.
Yeah, precisely. But then you've got external communication. That's the business talking to the outside world.
Right. Like press releases.
Yeah.
Ads.
Mm-hmm. Press releases, advertising, emails to suppliers, negotiating with investors, even dealing with regulators. It's all about how the business interacts with stakeholders outside its own structure.
And this shapes the company's image, its relationships.
Absolutely. It builds and maintains the company's reputation and external connections.
And our sources are clear.
Yeah.
You need both, right? It's not one and the other.
Oh, definitely not. They're both essential. Internal keeps the engine running smoothly. External handles the market presence and stakeholder relations. You really can't neglect one without hurting the other.
Yeah.
There's a real synergy there.
Synergy. Okay. So beyond who you're talking to, there's also the structure of the communication itself, formal versus informal.
Exactly. Structure versus spontaneity, as you put it earlier.
So formal communication, that's the official stuff, isn't it? Mm. Work-related follows approved channels.
Yeah. Think company reports, minutes from board meetings, official circulars, that kind of thing.
And there are levels even within that.
Mm-hmm. Our sources mention that. You might have open, formal channels, like a company newsletter everyone gets, or restricted ones, like confidential financial reports that only certain people see.
Okay. And the flip side is informal communication.
Right. Unofficial, casual, spontaneous. It just sort of happens.
The chats by the water cooler, or, you know, the break room.
Yeah.
Group chats about non-work stuff.
Exactly. And these networks often just grow naturally from friendships or shared interests.
But is this informal stuff just noise? Or does it have value?
That's the fascinating part. Our sources really emphasize its value. These informal chats can actually surface critical issues or even innovative ideas much faster than formal channels sometimes.
Hmm. Like an early warning system.
Kind of, yeah. Mm-hmm. Or an idea incubator if leaders are tuned in. So are both valuable. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Formal gives you professionalism, records, legal cover.
Right. The official track.
But informal builds trust, camaraderie. It can actually make problem solving faster because people feel more comfortable, maybe. They complement each other in really important ways.
That's a great point. Informal isn't just a side effect. It can be a strategic asset. Okay, so let's shift to the actual methods. How do messages get sent? Our sources lay out four main ways, starting with the most basic. Verbal communication, just talking.
Yep, the power of spoken words. Examples are everywhere. Hmm. Announcements, team meetings, interviews, appraisals, presentations.
Everyday chats.
Exactly. Everyday conversations that build relationships.
And the advantages are pretty obvious, right?
Yeah.
It's quick, usually cheap.
Mm-hmm. And you get that immediate feedback loop. You can clarify things instantly. Plus, you get the tone, the body language adds so much meaning.
It's also good for judging someone's communication skills on the spot.
True. But there are definite downsides. The big one is no permanent record.
Which can be a problem later.
Definitely. For accountability, or if there's a dispute, there's also a higher risk of misinterpretation, especially if you're talking to a large group. People hear things differently.
And meetings.
Yeah.
They can be quick, but they can also eat up a ton of time if they're not run well.
Oh, tell me about it. Meetings can be a huge time sink.
Okay, so the counterpoint to verbal is written communication, the lasting record.
Right. This covers your formal letters, internal memos, detailed reports, official notices, executive summaries, research proposals, all that documented stuff.
And the big advantage here is that official documentation, you have proof, an audit trail.
Mm-hmm. It forces clarity and precision because you have to think about how you phrase things. And for anything legal or contractual, it's usually non-negotiable.
But it takes time, doesn't it? Writing a detailed report isn't quick.
Oh, it can be very time-consuming. And feedback is often delayed. You send it off and wait.
And even though it's written, it can still be misunderstood if it's not drafted clearly.
Absolutely. Without the immediate back and forth of conversation, a poorly worded sentence can cause real confusion.
Okay. Method 3, visual communication. Seeing is believing.
Yeah. This is about making information easy to grasp visually. Think graphs, charts, infographics, videos, presentations.
And businesses use specific tools here too, right? Like the BCG matrix, decision trees.
Exactly. Yeah. Gantt charts for projects, critical path analysis, tools designed to make complex information visual and digestible.
The advantage seems clear. It's often easier to understand and remember than dense text.
Yeah, it can save a lot of time. Great for visual learners, makes data more accessible.
Any drawbacks?
Well, visuals can sometimes oversimplify complex issues. You might lose important nuances. And creating good visuals often takes specific design skills or software, which isn't always available.
Fair enough. Okay, now the fourth category from our sources is a bit interesting. They call it nonverbal electronic communication, but it's not body language.
Right. That's the crucial distinction here. It's maybe a slightly confusing label, but what they mean are the digital and electronic tools. Things that aren't necessarily traditional spoken words or printed text.
So emails, video conferencing.
Mm-hmm. Mobile platforms, instant messaging, things like Slack or Teams. It's about the digital medium.
Got it. And the advantages here feel very modern, very current.
Oh, yeah. It enables super fast global communication, shrinks distances instantly.
Cuts costs compared to physical mail.
Definitely. And it's the foundation for remote work and international collaboration, which are huge now.
But there are downsides too. Reliance on tech.
Big time. Mm-hmm. You need the investment in the technology itself. It's vulnerable to technical glitches, power outages, poor internet.
We've all been there.
Mm-hmm. And the big one for many people, information overload. Just drowning in emails and messages. It's easy for important stuff to get buried.
So true. Okay, so we have these four methods. Verbal, written, visual, and this electronic category. How do businesses actually choose? It's obviously not one size fits all.
No, definitely not. Good organizations use a mix. The best choice really depends on the situation, the context.
So what's a common mistake people make when choosing?
I think a common pitfall is just defaulting to whatever's easiest or quickest for the sender without thinking about the receiver or the message itself.
Ah, okay. So what factors should they consider?
Well, our sources list several key things. Personal preferences actually matter. Some people just respond better to face-to-face. Others need a written report to really digest information.
Interesting. And the company structure?
Yeah, the organizational structure. Right. Is it hierarchical, where formal top-down might be the norm? Or is it flatter, encouraging more open, maybe informal channels?
And security, surely.
Absolutely critical security concerns. Mm-hmm. Sensitive data needs secure, restricted channels. You wouldn't blast confidential financials over an open email list.
Obviously not. What else?
Skills and training. Do people actually know how to use the tools effectively? Rolling out new tech without training is pointless.
Good point. Make it easy.
Yeah, ease of use. Communication methods shouldn't add friction. They should be simple and efficient. And finally, the size of the business.
How does size impact it?
Larger companies often need more formal, structured systems just to manage the sheer volume and complexity. A small startup can probably be much more agile and informal. It's about scale.
Makes sense. But even if you choose the right method, things can still go wrong. Which brings us to the barriers to communication, the stuff that gets in the way.
Mm-hmm. Those frustrating obstacles that just dilute or block the message.
What are some common culprits?
Yeah.
Our sources mention noise.
Right. And importantly, that's not just sound. It can be any physical distraction, background activity, anything that breaks concentration.
Okay. And language.
Language differences, definitely. That includes jargon, overly technical terms people don't understand, or actual different native languages and global teams. That's a big one.
Using jargon with the wrong audience is a classic barrier. What about cultural stuff?
Oh, cultural differences are huge. How directness is perceived, how hierarchy impacts communication, even nonverbal cues. It all varies massively across cultures and can lead to major misunderstandings if you're not aware.
That requires real sensitivity. What else?
Just plain poor listening. People being distracted, not paying attention, interrupting. The message just doesn't get through properly.
We're all guilty of that sometimes.
Mm-hmm. And related to the electronic methods we discussed, information overload. Trying to process too much at once means you retain less and clarity just plummets.
The fire hose effect.
Exactly. And of course, technical issues. Your system crashes, the internet goes down, the video call fails. Technology can be a barrier too.
So connecting this back to the bigger picture, these barriers aren't just annoying, they have real impacts, don't they?
Oh, absolutely. Serious impacts. Misunderstandings lead to mistakes, sometimes costly ones. Productivity drops. Employee motivation can suffer if they feel unheard or confused.
Customer relationships can sour.
Definitely. Poor communication can damage customer trust. And ultimately, all of this can lead to significant financial losses and real damage to the company's reputation. It really highlights why tackling these barriers is so vital.
Wow. Okay. That was a really thorough exploration. Mm-hmm. It really shows how multifaceted organizational communication is. Let's try and quickly recap the main takeaways for everyone listening.
Sounds good.
Okay, first off, it's crystal clear communication isn't just a nice to have. It's absolutely essential, the lifeblood, right? Mm-hmm. For coordination, efficiency, making good decisions.
Mm-hmm. And we saw it comes in lots of forms, internal, external, formal, informal, and delivered verbally, written down, visually, or electronically. Each has its place.
And each method has its own pros and cons. So businesses really need to choose strategically based on the context, the message, the audience.
Yeah.
Not just go with habit.
Exactly. And finally, recognizing those barriers, noise, language, culture, overload, tech issues, poor listening, and actively working to minimize them is just crucial for effectiveness.
It's about making sure the message doesn't just get sent, but actually lands.
Precisely.
So, to leave you with something to think about, Knowing all this, how might you intentionally choose your next communication method? Whether it's crafting that email, starting a chat, writing a report, or deciding to have a face-to-face. Think beyond just sending the message. How can you choose the method that best ensures it's truly received, understood, and has the impact you want? Consider not just what you say, but how it needs to land.
That's a great thought to end on.
Until next time, keep diving deep.